In the scriptures, we find these words: "Servant of the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." That's 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. And then we also have these words in Ephesians: "Put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." According to these scriptures, it's very clear that the Christian has an adversary, the devil. There are those who are taken captive by the devil. There's those who have given place to the devil. As I was praying about this message, I thought, what a glory it would be to the testimony of Christ if some soul under the sound of my voice could receive light and revelation into their lives of any part that is darkness, any part where there has been place been given to the devil. Whether it be just in the beginning stages of beginning to compromise and to slip and to begin to give place to the devil, or whether it's in the advanced stage, stage 4, you know, the doctor pronounces cancer stage 4, terminal. But the Word of God tells us that there is a way out, that those who are taken captive in the snare of the devil may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive. Praise God, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil and to set the captives free and to bring them into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That where once they worshipped idols and served devils and served the flesh and self, now they worship the true God of heaven. And they give Him praise and exalt His name who has done such great things for them. You know, we as parents, when we see danger and the little child is about to touch the hot stove, we say, "Oh no, don't touch." Or when they're about to ride their tricycle out onto the road and there's traffic coming, we run to the rescue. We shout, "Warning, stop." Well, by God's grace, that's what I desire to do today, is to sound the warning. Stop. Oh, it'd be the goodness of God that opens up my eyes to see where Satan has ground in my life, where I have given place to the devil, where there's a defeat, that we can find victory, where there's bondage, we can be brought into the glorious freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Thought what a glory it would be to the name of the Lord if someone here today, God would in His mercy illumine and shine His light into the heart to reveal darkness, deception, sin. If you would stand with me for prayer, please. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, I confess my need of You. I confess, Lord, that I get used to the darkness, get used to the lukewarmness, get used to the indifference, Lord. Get used to the temperature around me. And Lord, I feel the tugs at my own soul to carnality, to worldliness, to an easy life. So, Lord, I don't preach this message as one that has arrived or has it all under control, but, Lord, I come as one needy of the renewing of the Holy Ghost, of the quickening power of God in my life. Lord, that the glory of the awesome majesty of God would burn brighter in my own soul. Lord, that the righteousness of the awesome God would blaze in my own heart, Lord, and sin would be exceeding sinful, not a laughing matter, not a playing matter, but Lord God, that Your Word would cause us to tremble, that the fear of God would be upon our hearts, Lord, lest we are deceived, lest we just become people without a salt, without a light, without a purpose, without the fire of God burning in our souls, to be all that we can be for God, as our brother Gerald shared in the devotional. And we just sort of sit back and, oh Lord, Father, cause us to hear Your voice. Lord, cause Your Word to illumine our hearts, Lord. To reveal any part dark, Lord. Reveal any deception, Lord, where I have bought into any lies of another Jesus or another gospel. That is not the true gospel, and that will not save. Oh Lord, open our eyes. Father, I do with great longing ask You, Father, that Your dear children who love You and who are walking in truth and in light and grace, Lord, I pray that there wouldn't be any condemnation upon any soul here today, but Father, that there would be Holy Ghost conviction. Father, where we have given place to the devil, where we have compromised with the world and sin, oh Lord, bring Holy Ghost conviction. And Father, if there's any here that are taken captive by the devil, even just a small piece, Lord, might seem like a small thing. Lord, I pray You would put Your finger upon it, Lord. Lord God, I pray that You would search my heart. Search me, O God, and try me. Know my thoughts, my intents, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way within me, O Lord. Father, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. It's Your kindness that warns us and shows us and teaches us, Lord, so that we should not be cast away, that we should not be damned and lost without hope, without God in the world. So, Father, we just do ask for Your blessing upon Your Word and upon every soul under the sound of our voice. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you're headed toward the cliff and about to fall, wouldn't you want someone to tell you? If you're headed on a path that leads to destruction, wouldn't it be a merciful God that would give you an opportunity to hear the truth and to turn from that path and turn to the Lord and acknowledge the truth in meekness, receiving the Word of God, that God peradventure will grant repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It is appointed unto men once to die. This morning, as I was just in preparation and just asking the Lord to speak to us, oh, that we could encounter God today, that we could meet with God, and that God would in His mercy speak to us, reveal to us the path that we're on, bring us into the light of His truth. I walked out to the east of the building, all the way out through the grass, to where I found myself among the tombs, there by the tombstones. And I began to read the names on those tombstones. Some were infants, some were stillborn, some were just little children. Went a little farther down the line. There's a husband, a grandpa. There lies the body in the dust, the soul and the spirit gone to God. Walk a little farther down the line. There I see some dear youth who were taken in their youth, just young men in their prime, age 22. Keep on going down the line, and I believe there's 27 bodies lying in the dust. They have met their appointment. Just like God said, It's appointed unto men once to die. You consider the life so young, so full of vigor, so full of ambition and zeal, and so soon cut off, some in a flash, some knew they were going to die. The cancer kept advancing. The sickness kept progressing. And they knew, I'm going to die. I'm going to meet God. Lots of time to pray, meditate, consider my ways, make restitution, ask forgiveness, say I'm sorry. Oh yes, lots of time. But others, in a moment, in a flash. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't put off till tomorrow. Little did that young man realize, tonight, I'm going to meet my eternal destiny, my Maker. You know, you walk on down the line, you look at those tombstones and you meditate upon the life. You read what is written there. Finally, I come down to the one in the end. Denny Keniston. Oh, what a mixture of emotion. Dear Brother Denny, who loved God, who sought God, was a prayer warrior, loved the Word of God, preached prophetically from this pulpit, preached warning, sounded the trumpet, the holy alarm, in God's holy mountain among God's people, lifted up His voice and showed His God's people their transgression. And I miss my brother Denny. Just what a... Wow. And we elders talked about it. We love the gifts that God has given to this ministering team. The gift of teaching. The pastor gift. But we miss the prophetic. We miss the voice of the prophet crying aloud. See, when was the last time we heard a message on hell? You know, it's still in the Bible. And I love the teaching and I love to preach how Jesus died to save sinners and to rescue the perishing. I love it. I love to preach on the love of God and I believe it. But if we do not also preach to the wrath of God, do we have an imbalanced view of God? And so we fall into this flood that is upon the Christian church in America, just this flood of God is love and He'll overlook your sin. We all sin. We all just can't help it. We're just, and God is just loving and you can just be assured and rest in the mercy and grace of God. And I'm very thankful that God is loving. For by this works of this body, of this flesh, by your own good works, there shall no man be justified or be saved. It is true. But after you have been saved and called out of darkness into His marvelous light, shall we continue in sin that God's grace may continue to abound? God forbid. Oh, the groaning and the crying for those who thought they knew God. And God says, depart from me, you disobedient adulterer with the world. Depart from me. Oh, the weeping and the wailing. As they say, but Lord, we taught your word. We even had spiritual power to cast out demons. And Jesus says, depart from me. Open your Bibles. This is not my words. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, many, oh my brothers and sisters, God forbid it should be anyone under the sound of my voice. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Haven't I preached sermons, Lord, in your name? You know, the preacher isn't exempt. Just because I preach, just because you preach, brother, you're not exempt. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Deliverance ministry. Deliverance ministries. Many wonderful works ministries. But that's not salvation. It's not salvation. Preaching, prophesying, it's no guarantee of salvation. Casting out a demon, no guarantee of salvation. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So where is our security? Where is our guarantee? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Obedience. Obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Obedience to the claim of Christ in my life. Jesus Christ, Lord and Master of my life. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Enter ye in at the straight gate, verse 13 of Matthew 7. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Are you giving place to the devil? Are you trying to broaden
the way.
Are you making excuse for yourself? It's still true that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Just how broad or just how narrow is the way? Now we do not well to compare ourselves and look at others who we can say, oh, they're on the broad way, and pat ourselves on the back. I want you to be honest with God this morning. Are you allowing things in your life that are on the broad way? Are you trying to widen the gate and thereby giving place to the devil, to deceive? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Certain judgment is coming. Marvel not. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The hour is coming. The judgment, the sure judgment of God is coming for all. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So every one of us shall give account of himself to God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. God will bring to light the secret things that are now hidden in darkness. And God is going to expose the secret things, the secret motives and purposes of the heart. God is going to do that. Are you giving place to the devil by trying to have things hidden, things in secret? Are you slippery, as they say? Deceptive. Lying. So you don't get found out or get caught. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. The judgment. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The judgment. Once to die, and then the judgment. I have an hourglass here that I started when we began this message. If this hourglass would represent your life, I wonder how much sand is in the top part and how much is in the bottom already. I'm 55 or 56 years old, not quite sure, somewhere in there. And I thought that was pretty old when I was a teenager or a little lad, and my uncles would be discussing the matters of the world events, and I was a little boy, and I would tremble as I'd hear him talk about the communists and that fear that was the Cold War, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the talk of World War III and the end of the world. Well, here we are. Christ hasn't come yet. But he that shall come will come. And he has come for all 27 of those tombstones representing those individuals. He has come for them. Some in their infancy. Some in the vigor and strength of youth. Some in their mid-years. And he's coming for us too, brother, sister. Hallelujah. He that shall come will come and shall not tarry. But today, the burden of my heart is that judgment could come early for me and for you, so that we can be judged of God now. It's the goodness of God that brings to light our sin and shows us the wickedness of our heart, so that we can be judged now and our sins can go beforehand to judgment. Hallelujah! And we can be saved from falling off into the abyss, off the cliff, into the eternal fires of hell. Oh, it would be a merciful, lovely thing for God to bring to light and expose in your heart and mine that which is iniquity and sin, that which is defiling, that which is unrighteous, that which is an abomination. We're here in Matthew. Let's just turn over a little bit into Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught His disciples to pray. And in verse 12 of Matthew 6, He said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And then he adds these words in verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You know, is it really that serious? That if I have someone that I will not forgive, that I'll harbor bitterness toward them, or I'll hold them to the law, to the demand of perfection before I forgive them. You know, is it really true that if I don't forgive my brother who I see, or my sister, that God won't forgive me? Is that, you think it's really that serious? Yes, it is. And if we're not forgiven, we're not going to heaven. Do you think unforgiving, bitter people will be in heaven? Unforgiveness? The devil is the father of unforgiveness, of bitterness. It's Jesus Christ who is our example of forgiveness. Oh, forgive them. When He was being crucified, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. You think God answered that prayer? You know, I believe Jesus' prayers were answered. I really do. Jesus didn't ask for something that the Father didn't grant. But did those men continue to walk in that forgiveness for that one act, that one major act? Were they saved in the end? I don't know, but I know the thief on the cross was. He was saved. He repented. Are you living in unforgiveness? If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will God forgive you your trespasses. Wonder how many will go to hell because they harbored that grudge. And they thought, well, maybe God will just overlook it. Well, there's many scriptures we could go to this morning. Why don't we turn over to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Don't be deceived about this. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There is such a flood of deception, such a compromise, such a mixture. Don't be deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not be in heaven with the King in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if the sins are given a new name, so it doesn't sound quite so abominable or quite so ugly or wicked. Today, you don't have a lot of adulterers. People just commit affairs. It's not adultery. Just committing affairs, and it's treated lightly among professed Christians. But God still calls it adultery. Covetousness. Oh, how many are ruined by covetousness. Jesus gave a parable about the sower and the Word of God and it falling onto the soil and it springs up and it bursts forth, but then there's the lust of other things comes in. and competes for my affection to God, for my mind and my heart and my love for God, and you have this warfare going, and which will win? If you don't root out the love of other things, it'll choke out the Word, the Bible says, and it becometh unfruitful. Jesus gave us some very strong words in John 15 about the branch that beareth not fruit. The branch that beareth not fruit is finally cut off and taken away. And men gather them and they are cast into the fire and they are burned. You know, this seems to be very serious. You know, it's not just accept Jesus one day and then you're secure, live as you may, just be lazy, be negligent in your Christian life, just enjoy life, and at the end go to heaven. That's not what Jesus taught. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived about this. Is there unrighteousness in my life, in your life? Have you given place to the devil? Just a little unrighteousness. Just a little compromise here or there. Just a little love of the world. Just a little love of pleasure. Well, how are you faring, my brother, my sister? Which one is winning out? The love of God? To love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength? Or is the love of pressure competing and coming in there and taking and sapping your love for Jesus, your love for the Word, your love for holiness, your serious pursuit of God? And it doesn't look so serious anymore. Go with me to Revelation. And like I say, there's many scriptures we could go to. We could look at all these churches in Revelation, but we won't do that this morning. We'll look at one. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, don't worry, it'll be okay. I'll receive you to myself when I come. I understand you live in America. It's pretty hard to really be hot for God. I know there's a lot of things competing for your affection. And is that what he says? He says, I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, to be lukewarm is not cool. Pardon me. I get a little weary of this cool thing. To be lukewarm is not cool with God. It's not going to cut it. It's not going to. So because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Does that sound like salvation to you? Does that sound like the path you want to be on? I don't think so. Like, oh, which pastor said it? You know, just $5 worth of God. Daryl Champlin, maybe? Just $5 worth of God, just enough to get me into heaven. No, not enough to shape my life and make it radical and bring some persecution into my life, bring some ridicule. No, no, not that much. I just want to be a respectable Christian who can still social drink, who can still enjoy the things the world around me enjoys and just run with them in all their idolatry. And huge, massive coliseums, if I may call them, that are built for people to go and enjoy their idolatry. Should the Christians mingle in with that? Where the 80,000 fanatics are screaming for their team. But you know, today it's all right. But it's not. Not. God will have no other gods before Him. The law still stands. Jesus didn't do away with that. That thou shalt not have any other gods before Me. That law still stands. That we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our being, with all that is within us. And it's still true that to love the world is to be enmity with God. It's adultery. Spiritual adultery. You know, it just has a watering down effect, right? It just has a cooling down effect. And I feel it tugging on my own being. And more at times or less at times. The closer we get to God, the more we are in tune and in love with God, and the more we know God, the more those things will be an abomination to us. Because they're an abomination to God. But the more we compromise and enjoy the things of this world that the world revels in and honors and their value systems and all of those things, oh, it doesn't seem so bad. Because, you know, there's nice, respectable people at these participating in these things. They're nice, respectable people. They're not murderers. I mean, they're respectable people. They eat social drink. Am I going to be a fool around the business meeting table and they're all social drinking and I'm not going to have any alcoholic beverage? Not so bad. After all the Bible says drunkenness. Drunkards aren't going to enter heaven. It doesn't say social drinkers. Oh, but wait a minute. It's a real short step to accepting social drinking and to fall into being an alcoholic. Do you think the people that are all alcoholics today one day decided, I'm going to be an alcoholic and I'm going to be a drunkard. It's going to cause ruin in my life. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose everything. You think they thought that way? No, they didn't. I'm going to be a drunkard. I'm going to lay on the sidewalk in my own vomit. No, they didn't think that. I'll just have a little. I know when to stop. He's a fool. He doesn't know when to quit. Yeah, you'll be right in his shoes. But for the grace of God, there go I. So thankful that in my youth, I didn't get in with that drinking crowd. Not because of my goodness or my spirituality. But there was something in me that my dear father put in there and my mother for godliness. And don't go down that path. Danger, warning, don't go down the path of fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind. Don't go there. Be brought into bondage. Well, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. This sand has just about expired. I wonder how much sand is in your glass. If your life were an hourglass, I wonder how much sand is left. You know, God didn't reveal that to us. Now, a person who walks close with God, yeah, Paul said, God showed me, I'm going home soon. The Lord showed me. But you know, those who presume upon the mercy and the grace of God in an hour that they think not the Lord cometh, and they are not prepared, but it's finished. It's over. And as the tree falls, so it lies. What a blessing it would be if judgment began at the house of God in my life and in your life today. And my sins can go beforehand to judgment, and I can be washed, and this will be the testimony of your life and my life. I closed my book. Let me get to it again. 1 Corinthians 6. It doesn't stop with the unrighteous not inheriting the kingdom. It goes on to say, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Hallelujah! Today you can be washed from those secret sins, those slippery things. Only one thing required, and that is honesty with God. And that is repentance, to turn away. Come to Jesus to be washed and be sanctified and be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Today, I want to give you opportunity to come and be washed. If God has revealed something to your heart by His mercy, by His Holy Spirit, I didn't make a whole lot of application. We did a little bit, but I left it open on purpose because I want the Holy Spirit of God to convict you of where you have given place to the devil. Where you have allowed Satan to come into your life. And let the Holy Spirit of God deal with you. And let your sins go beforehand to judgment and be washed. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, Lord, we believe your word, or do we? Do I think I can get away with it? Father, I ask in Jesus' name that there would be the revelation of the brightness, light, glorious light of God shining into our hearts, searching my heart, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way within me. Lord, I pray for this congregation, for each one under the sound of my voice. Lord, it is of your goodness and your mercy that you draw us to repentance. You draw us, you show us our sin. And sin becomes exceeding sinful. That which I allowed, that which I was deceived in, thinking it's okay, thinking it won't really hurt me, it won't have any evil, wicked effect on my life. But Lord, I pray today, oh God, by your mercies, Lord, expose sin and let it become exceeding sinful. Reveal any deception where we have deceived our hearts in any way. Father, I pray that judgment would come to the house of God today and that there could be a responding to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith toward God. And there can be a cleansing and a washing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for preaching the word. The Lord to our hearts. Amen. Anyone want to share this morning? Maybe something that God spoke to your heart in, or a testimony of your walk with God and your victory over sin, overcoming this world and the lust thereof. Just lift up your hand if you desire to share a testimony or something to add to the message here.
I was just thinking today during the message that, you know, many times in my life I've heard the phrase from people that you're in bondage, that, you know, you're serving religion or you're not free. And I just had to think that there was a day in my life where I wasn't free. There was a day in my life where when I thought I was having a great time and living for the pleasures of the world, that I was really in bondage. And I think back to a time where I was just bound up in fashion and bound up in, you know, all the things that I thought would make me beautiful or all the things that I thought would make me happy. And when I think back to those days, all I could think of was the guilt of sin. And, you know, I think back to even my youth doing things behind my parents' back and just the bondage that brought, the feelings of having to sneak around or the feelings of having to cover up. And and then when I think of what Jesus did for me and how he saved me from all of that, I've never felt so free. And, you know, people in the world, they just don't understand. They don't understand the freedom that's in Christ. And you can do without all those things that people think make you happy, but when you have the peace of God reigning in your heart, there's nothing as freeing as that. And I just praise God for setting my soul free and for freeing me from all those entanglements of the world. And I just praise Him. I just love Him, and I want to go on with Him. And I just love the feeling of freedom that I have in serving God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Someone else? Have a mic.
Yes, I was just convicted today that, and lately that I don't willingly, I'm not willing to obey God in everything, and I want to be willing to obey Him, whatever He asks me to do. So please pray for me in that.
Amen. Amen, Cheryl. God bless you. Praise God. There we have a hand.
Last year, I went to the cemetery also, and I wrote down all the names of the people who had died. And I preached a message in Lancaster City. And one of the things that struck me was, of all the people in there, there weren't a lot of old people there. And the other thing that I shared is there were only 25 people who had died when I shared that message. And now there are 27. And that won't stop. Just like the hourglass that we saw, we have a time appointed for us. I shared in with the youth today about persecution. And one of the thoughts that came to me is, if we're not prepared to die, we're not prepared to receive persecution. And Brother Denny had preached that many years ago about the wave of persecution coming. Mm-hmm. And it's getting closer. And we need to prepare our hearts. We read in chapter 7 of Acts the beautiful story of Stephen. How he had the boldness and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And he looked up into heaven just before the end of his life and he saw Jesus. And I believe we could take courage from that. We can see Him yet today. And have the courage to walk in this world, standing strong for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. It's encouraging, Jeff. Amidst persecution, that's right. It may be coming. We can stand strong. Sister, go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, this message just made me think over my life when I was younger and sitting under messages like this, and just the conviction that God would bring to me. And I just had to think of just through those years of youth and the battles that I faced, just the thing that stood out to me in the message was the other loves competing with the love to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I just want to say those were hard battles for me. But as I said yes to God and just yielded to Him, every step I just did what I felt God was speaking to me about. And to this day, I just never regret anything that I had to give up or yield to Him. He returns so much more. That's so much more fulfilling than any sin, anything that tries to compete with loving God with all of our hearts. So I'm just blessed by the message, and I just want to encourage anyone that feels like God's speaking to them and doesn't know if it will be worth it. God is faithful, and He will make your life fulfilling more than you could ever dream of.
Thank you, Sister. Thank you, Sister Ann. It's not so long ago you were a young person and unmarried, and that's an encouragement to the young people here.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, I just want to encourage us all with that verse on the board. You know, it says the Lord, bottom part of the verse there says the Lord is at hand. And I believe this morning that, you know, Jesus said many times, the kingdom of, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, when the Lord is at hand, it's a time to heed that voice. I mean, quite a few places in scriptures it says, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Brings in the example of the wilderness, you know, where they provoke God to wrath and were not able to enter in, never were able to enter into His rest. And so the time to respond is when God's voice is speaking to your hearts. So maybe some of you have been spoken to and did not respond this morning. My encouragement is continue to open up your heart to the Lord, even as you leave this service. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. Don't resist the voice of God in your heart and life. Robert?
I would just like to share my heart. I've been here 11 years, and I've heard a lot of testimonies, and I've given several testimonies. But there's no other person on this planet that can change your life. Nobody. Nobody sitting next to you. Nobody in front of you. Only Jesus Christ, the one who shed the blood for all our sins. And it just, daily you just see more sin in this world, and it's getting worse and worse and worse because people are so deceived. There's so much darkness out there. But we can thank God for what He's given us and where He's going to take us if we allow Him to take us home. So please pray for each other, pray for me, pray for this congregation, pray for our elders, that we all stay focused on that narrow path like Brother Aaron said this morning. There's no other way to go but to heaven, to spend an eternity with your Creator. Can you really think about that? I can't even imagine. Our Creator, who created every one of us and everything, we have an opportunity to be with Him forever. Not just on a Sunday, not on a Saturday, but forever. What else do you want out of your life? There's nothing else out there. It's all going to burn. But Jesus Christ, just keep that in mind, that there is a narrow path, but it's worth it. Persecution is worth it. Many have been persecuted for His name. And I just pray someday that if I have to be persecuted, I know where I'm going to go. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And I can only live for myself. And we only have a choice for ourselves. So pray for each other. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Aaron, for being the voice of the prophet. We need that. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.